more volume, please. And the importance of, that's too much. And the importance of being able to receive the Holy Spirit power in our lives for the day that are coming. We are coming closer to Jesus' come back. There is pretty strong evidence that the time is getting shorter. We don't know when, but it's getting shorter. And there is more and going to be more and more need for us to actually align ourselves up with what Jesus said concerning the need that we have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. He said, you know, to tarry and to wait in Jerusalem until the power has come upon you. Well, one of the things we have to realize that we don't need to wait anymore. And especially we don't need to go and wait in Jerusalem. Because the thing happened already 2,000 years ago. And the Holy Spirit has been poured upon the world. He has done the job that needed to be done. And so, you know, the apostles weren't there waiting for the Holy Spirit to prepare themselves for it. I have to repeat that because lots of people think that they had to prepare themselves to receive the Holy Spirit, so they had to do some work, when instead not realizing that God does the work in you through the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, we don't need anymore to be waiting. We need to be receiving it and appropriating it because it's here. This is an important thing that, you know, people need to understand, that often it's not explained properly. You know, if somebody asks you, I want to get saved, you know, you're going to tell him, just wait. Would you? Absolutely, you would not do. You know, just bring them through the confession of their sins and receiving the forgiveness from God and receiving what Jesus has done in their life for them, and that's it. Well, what's the difference? Why should you say to somebody that wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, well, just wait? You don't wait. Just take it. Receive it. You see, and that's where the word, you know, receiving in Greek, lambano, means to take hold on. We have a part we play in taking hold of what God has done for us. Everything that God does, it works the same way. You know, it works for salvation, it's work for being baptized on the Holy Spirit, it works for being healed, it's work for freedom that you get in the areas of your life, in anything. You know, and the thing is, the reason why God wants us to be receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is because it enables us to do things that we cannot do in ourselves. It empowers us. It directs us in a stronger way. It gives us a spiritual experience that enables us to move in dimensions that we otherwise are not going to be able to do. Are you still here? You see, this is why Jesus bothered saying that when he was leaving. Says, you know, just wait before you do anything until you receive that. Well, you know, now just receive that so that you can do the work that God calls you to do. So that you can have victory in your life in a way that you did not have before. It's so important. The New Testament is full of information, full of examples of that. The thing is, when we come to that experience, we realize something important taking place within us. We realize the work of our faith operating there. You see, it's a evidence of our faith manifested in us. like, you know, it's the same thing as receiving healing, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, operating in the gifts. You know, it puts us into a dimension of walking with God that is different than otherwise we do if we just go according to our mind. We need to experience that. As I share with you, when I was saved, I had a strong experience. And God did get myself. It wasn't somebody that brought me to Him. But because of that strong experience, you know, it was the same thing, was equivalent, if you want, to the experience one gets when he's baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, I had this vision, I had this understanding, I had this blowing my mind off completely about, you know, everything about what I thought before. And so that strong experience empowered me beyond what just going to say this in this prayer, that is just a mental thing. I was changed drastically as a result of that experience. And it was very easy that later on, 2 years after, when I finally figured out about that there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit, to receive that, because it was nothing else than taking a little step of faith in which I already had experience. See, this is the importance. This is why it's so important to understand how we receive things from God. Because it doesn't matter the area, the topic, whatever it is, you know, doesn't really matter. You receive the same way for everything that you need. If we don't have that experience of receiving from God, we are going to struggle with the things that we need in our life. Because, you know, life is not always easy. There are always things coming up because we are in the world which has messed up, is decayed. And so we are going to encounter or meet situation in which we don't know what to do and we don't know how to do it. But when we have the understanding of how to connect with God and receive from Him what we need, the power that we need, then we are going to be able to face any circumstance that we face. We are going to overcome anything that comes our way, not just by the skin of our teeth, but just because the power in us, the greater one is in us. And you know that the greater one is in you. Because you have experienced it. Because it did it before and is going to do it again. You know, just God doesn't just want to save you so that you go to heaven. That's only part of it. God wants to save you so that you have a life that is abundant even now. He wants to direct you and empower you. This is what, you know, Jesus said many times. I came to give you life more abundantly, John 10, 10. You know, Acts chapter 1. You know, wait until the power is come upon you. Then you're going to be my witnesses. And so we want to come into that experience of empowerment by which we start working at the different level, that which is not just the mental level, not just rational thinking, because our rational thinking is limited by definition. You see, it's just limited to our experience, our abilities. God has given us the gift to operate beyond our abilities. But is not going to happen just like that. It's going to happen because you operate in faith. Anything that God does, it does it through your faith. And your faith is nothing else than what you believe. So we want to be able to operate in the way God has planned us to do. This is the way we please Him. We don't please Him about doing all the things that we often say. You know, the only way to please God is by faith. When we believe Him, when we believe His word, beyond what we see, what we hear, what we think, whatever anybody says, it doesn't matter. What we believe is what He said and is authoritative for us. We stand on that. We do not budge because somebody else says something else. Not even because we see or think so differently. Because we don't have yet that experience. But you see, but when you start experiencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you come to a place when you realize that is beyond you. Is beyond your abilities. But is within you at the same time, because you can operate that way, because He's there to empower you, to enable you to do that. And this is the most liberating experience a Christian can have. Because after that, he can start operating and working and following God in ways that otherwise before he could not. Because his mind will limit him or limit her. Now, you know, one of the things that I shared last week was how I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My wife did that as well. And, you know, that was just the beginning for me. That was in 1974, so that was many years ago. And it was just the beginning of walking with God. That was just, you know, like a baby start to walk along with God. To learn new things, to start to live in His kingdom instead of down here. And to start experiencing things that otherwise would not have been possible for me to experience. And, you know, these experiences are not just natural, supernatural. God one is a supernatural God. God is not limited to the world down here, to the laws of nature. He creates the laws. Now, you know, one of the manifestations that takes place when we are filled with the Holy Spirit is that we start speaking in tongues. I know that there is lots of theologies taught that said, well, you don't need to do that. The point is, you know, you look at the scripture, don't look at what people say. Because, you know, the bottom line is this. If you got filled with the Holy Spirit, how do you know it? How can you say, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit? That's the only, it's only one way that you can say that. That's the way the Bible says that we can, the other people recognize that people were filled with the Holy Spirit. It didn't say because they say, oh, you know, I've been prayed for and I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Hello? So I don't care what anybody teaches. Oh, you don't need to speak in tongues. You know, there is a difference between being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. See, the difference is this, that you don't speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit. you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you speak in tongues. Hello. You see, the experience that you have is being filled with the Holy Spirit. As a result of that, you are free to speak in tongues. Okay. Now, you know, why bother? Well, the Bible says very clearly in 1 Corinthians 14:4, you know, that who speaks in tongues edifies himself. So what does it mean to edify himself? You know, that means who needs edification here? I mean, who does not need to be edified? You know, edify means, you know, to be strengthened, to, you know, to be recharged, to be empowered. Who does not need that? They said, well, you know, I don't need edification, you know, just I can do without it. Well, then go right ahead. See, the thing is, we need God's power and strength and whatever we need in us to be able to cope with the situations in our life sometime. And so we have a tool, if we have a weapon, if you want, that we can use to charge ourselves up. And if we don't use that weapon, you know, it's like, you know, you have $1 million in the bank and you don't use it because you can do without it. And you go around skimping on things and not be able to afford stuff and say, well, you know, I don't need it. Well, fine. If it makes sense for you, it's fine. It doesn't make sense for me. If I have something that can give me more power, more energy, more of the things that I need, more the ability to connect with God, more the ability to receive from Him, to allow my faith to grow, because how is your faith going to grow? As you just are going to experience more and more God's working in your life. See, you cannot pray just for faith. You need experience so that your belief system changes. And when you experience God working in you, you can believe for more that He's going to do. The more you experience God's power and the more faith you're going to have about things. You know, I remember myself, the way I grew in faith in some areas. You know, I had to realize, first of all, what God was doing. Then I could say, oh, but that's what took place. And then I could count on that experience that I had before. That knowledge that actually is experience that I had concerning those area, that I could trust God about it because He had worked out that before and He was going to do it again. You know, He gave me the gift of, you know, for people with pain, to reduce their pain. And, you know, but for a long time, I did not realize that. Until the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, look what happened then. Why do you think it happened? No. And then I started connecting the points together. And I started realizing, wait a minute. That wasn't me, evidently. And that happens other time too. And maybe that this is a special gift that I have. And I opened up to God and started using me all the time that way. You know, practically every Sunday. Here, people come with pain. They go away without it. Why? Because God operates, has lifted the level of faith in me so that I can pray the prayer of faith for them so that they can receive it in that particular area more than in other areas. Well, I want Him to start, you know, it's not the only thing that I pray for, but, you know, I want the same level of faith that they have for that to work in other area too. And there is no reason why not. Okay, well, I better start following my notes here. Now, you know, when we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes on us. Okay? And we start experiencing the God's direction and God's anointing, even without having been, you know, having received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay. For example, if you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16, says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage against to fear, but to receive the spirit of the adoption by whom you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." See, when we actually receive, you know, we went through that first process, you know, there is starting to be a communication, a relationship between us and God. The Holy Spirit starts to be in us and brings us a witness within ourselves that we know. Nobody can tell us otherwise. Or sometimes the minds of people go in the way and they may not, but you know that there is a relationship between you and God. That doesn't mean that there is power to operate on that knowledge. Hello. This is important to understand. You know that you are connected with God, but you are there without any experience of power in you to be able to do things on a supernatural level. You know that something happens supernaturally inside you because you are not anymore the same. But it's limited in the ability that you can do things with that. You just hold on to Daddy, Abba, Father. The fears of the many things go away, as it says in the scriptures. Because he has not given us a spirit of fear. But he gives us a spirit of adoption by which we know that he is our Father. That we have a relationship with him, that he loves us, that we can trust him, that he has forgiven us. But there is more. God has more for us. God wants us to have more. And so he is calling us to a deeper experience. To be able to be used by him. And to be able to be known by others as his children. Not just because we don't do the messy things that the world does. But because we can operate as a child of God. And this is going to be more and more manifested as the time comes when Jesus comes back, because there's going to be the manifestations of the sons of God that is going to be fully implemented by that time. The church is going to be a powerful church. Operating in the power of God and operating in the power of the Spirit to make changes in the world around, the same way as Jesus did. See, our ministry is Jesus' ministry. It's not a question of going to church on Sunday. Oh, you're going to go, want to go to church on Sunday because you want to fellowship with other believers. But there is more than sitting and listening to somebody talking about the scriptures. The scriptures should be alive within you, producing fruit in your life and the life of those around you. All right.
So, talking about the new experience. Oops. See, much of this has to do with receiving from God. This is why the Holy Spirit is so important. If we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have learned one step to take beyond being saved. And that step is be able to receive something that pushes us from the physical and the mental level to the spiritual level. We start to operate in the kingdom of God, not just down here. Wouldn't you say that that's important? I mean, you just don't see only in the kingdom of God anymore. You are part of it, and you are operating at that level. This is what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to learn, you know, but it takes more than just going to church on Sunday. It takes more than that. It takes developing our character as well, because we need, when we start acting, you know, we have to act in the right way. So when God prepares us, when God works on us, you know, there are not just one aspect that works on us, but there are many different aspects of our lives that He works on us. He gives us gift and empowerment through the gift of the Holy Spirit, but also He develops the fruit of the Spirit within us so that we are not going around messing up stuff with the power He has given us. But you see, the thing is, are separated. These are different things, different areas that we have to grow into, that God wants to work in our life. Now, I want to go back to Acts chapter 2. I want to just stress some things there. Okay, there are things that have to do with the baptism of the Spirit that are connected to receiving or appropriating, yielding to the Spirit of God, obeying His direction, even when our mind sometimes says, this is crazy. Because, you know, any time that goes beyond your logical thinking, you know, your mind is going to say, what are you doing? You're going to look like a fool. How are you going to say today, you know, who's something wrong with your left arm? Well, maybe nobody's going to have anything wrong with their left arm, and you're going to look like crazy. Yeah. And sometimes we make mistakes too. Or sometimes we interpret things the wrong way. Because, you know, we had to learn to read God's language. And He doesn't always talk the way we talk. So He may give us an int to something to act on, and you interpret the int the wrong way, and you mess it up. So learning from your experience should help you in getting better and understanding what God says. But if you never make any mistakes and you never take any risk, you're never going to know anything, because you are so protected in your position that you're not going to say anything, because you may be wrong. See, God doesn't want us to be cowards. The righteous is as bold as a lion. And so we have to be able to stand, even, and not blame God when we make mistakes, recognize that we made a mistake. And we are human. And that keeps us humble. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 2, verse
Oops. Come on. All right, 38. Now, verse 38, Peter finishing his sermon. So then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call." Now, you know, first of all, see, this was a promise that was established from the Old Testament, that he was going to pour out the Spirit upon our flesh. So God's promise has a purpose. It's not just to make up a show. It's just he wanted to enable people to do the work that was required to do at a certain time. So there is a timing in God's plan. It didn't happen before. This is why the apostles or the disciples had to wait until the time was ripe, until Jesus received the promise, because that's what happened. So we don't need to wait. That's the first point I want to say. There is a promise. The fact that, and you shall receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Receiving, the word there is, again, as I repeat it, and I'm going to repeat it a million times, is lambano, which means to take. It's not a passive thing. We have to do something to receive it. You know, people pray for them, and they are there with their mouth open, thinking that God is going to do something. Sorry. They're going to stay with their mouth open until flies go inside. There is nothing is going to work for them to receive anything if they don't take a step of faith that is required. This is the receiving part. It's taking hold on. You have to take a step of faith and believe God for it and start acting like you got it. Amen. You start doing and acting as God's words is true. Now, you know, there are funny theologies that went around, you know, that were established because of the church decayed, you know, but times are changing. And so they say, well, you know, this stuff was only for the time of the apostles, for the early church. They haven't read the scripture. Because the scripture says, "And for the promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call." So, I mean, as I said, it's going to finish in that generation. It says it's going to be forever. Are we children of the past generations? Absolutely. So there is nothing taken off. Nothing is changed with God. God does not change. So why should he change about that? When there is a purpose for which he has given this promise. And his promise has been waited for a long time. Until Jesus finally gave it to us. And it's not even completed, because there is not a full manifestation of what we are going to be. See, this is God's plan. This is God's desire. He wants a church that is powerful, that is without spot and wrinkle, that is able to do, to be his representative. And we want to be part of that, don't you? But again, you know, to be part of that is not just going to church on Sunday. There are steps of faith that you had to take. There are steps of obedience that you had to take. He said, God said, "Speak it out." And you keep quiet. You are disobedient. I mean, God is not going to blast you because of that, but you are not going to get blessed. Now, there's a big difference between blasting and blessing.
Amen? I'd rather be blessed. About you. See, this is what Jesus came for. You shall not want. But you know, in your mind, you're going to want. Okay. So, let me go just a bit before here. Verse 32. The same message that Peter gave says that this Jesus God raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Evidently talking about the resurrection. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus received the promise. You see, that was the step that had to take for God to be able to release it in the world. He poured out this which you now see and hear. What? That they were speaking in tongues. That they were seeing, that they were full with the Holy Spirit, and there was a manifestation of the power of God operating. So you see, at that time, which was the day of Pentecost, God's power came and was released on earth for all flesh to receive it. And that means, you know, not everybody. It means from all nations, from all groups. It was not a question of color. Was not a question of Jew or Gentile. Was not a question of anything. You know, it was everybody could receive it. But not everybody is going to receive it. The same thing as salvation. Are you following what I'm saying? So now, as the guy prophesying on me when I went to ask for direction for the ministry, you know, what are you waiting for? If you are full with the Holy Spirit, what are you waiting for? And if you are full with the Holy Spirit, there are things you have to do. You know, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time experience. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is like being alive. You know, it's not just, you're not alive when you're born. You're alive every moment of your life. Something has to be there for you to be alive. Well, something has to be there for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you see, you know, the words there in Ephesians says, be filled with the Holy Spirit instead of doing some of the other things. And that filled with the Holy Spirit is a continuation thing. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. We have a part we play, and the part we play is our faith. We have to believe that that is possible. We have to believe that God is going to do it through us. We have to believe that God has done it for us. We have to believe. And that's the only way to please God. Instead of believing our ideas, instead of believing what people teach us, just go to the Word of God and see what it says about being filled with the Holy Spirit and be filled with it. Time goes too fast, yeah. So, there are some things I think we need to understand about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So we said this is a promise. It has to be received. You don't need to wait. The time has fully come. That's what it says in Acts chapter 2, you know, the disciples now prepared to receive. They wanted to, you know, receive it, but the time wasn't fully come. When the time of Pentecost was fully come, they got it. There was no waiting then. Okay? So, and there is the fact that the important thing to understand that is received by faith. You know, that is one of the best way to start allowing your faith to grow. Do you see the connection? If you start exercising your faith, start receiving in this area, becomes easy to apply it in other areas. You have to exercise your faith to receive forgiveness. Faith in believing that what Jesus done is done. You have to exercise your faith to receive the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, believing that what Jesus has released is there for you to receive. You have to exercise faith to receive anything from God. If you need healing, you better learn to receive healing by faith. Because God is not going to do it otherwise. That's what the word says. See, God is not healing you. God has healed you already. By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. So when somebody will say, well, what are you doing there being sick? I mean, that's what it says, the word, isn't it? So if the word says that, that means, you know, there is a part we play that is the key part in getting that manifestation happening. And that manifestation is nothing else than exercise our faith in any area that we apply ourselves, so that we learn to exercise our faith is a good way to please God and to grow from where we are to where God wants us to be. I get excited about the things that God wants to do with us. I know that He can do much more than what we ever thought about was possible. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, what are we waiting for? It's a question of making some decisions, taking some stands in some area and say, no, this is what God says. That's what is going to work for me. As somebody said in the past, you know, the word says it, I receive it, that's enough for me. This is what we have to do. And we have to see the areas in which we actually don't do it. Praise the Lord. Well, I think that we're running out of time. Did you get anything today? Yes. Now, I want not to just preach about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I want, you know, there was a time when church, my church, everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know now. And so many people aren't here today. So that was not, is not a good time to do it. I want everybody to receive it. I'm going to believe for God to fill everybody with the Holy Spirit. With the evidences of speaking in tongues. Amen. See, and not to stop there, just to have that as a next step toward what God wants to do with you. I mean, there is much more, and we are going to see, because this is, you know, what I'm talking about now is what God wants to do to empower the church to do the job that is required to do in these last days. You know, and I know that charismatic stuff sometimes is funny and stuff. You know, I don't care about funny stuff. I care about the power of God. We have a powerful God, a mighty God, that can do beyond our imagination if we just let Him. You know, the word says in Psalm that they limited the Holy One of Israel because of their beliefs. That's what we do all the time. And with that, I'm going to close for today. And I'm praying that, you know, as these things just get into your thinking and your belief system, it becomes easy to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just as starting to speak in any language. Amen? You have something on? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's close in prayer then. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for your Holy Spirit. We just come together, Lord, to hear from you, to receive from you, Lord, and to give you glory. Teach us, develop us, strengthen us, direct us, do everything that needs to be done. Lord, we are your children, Lord, and we want to be doing the things you call us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord.